You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This album is, now we feel still really attached to it, but if you wait one more year, maybe you lose the touch. And also the fans, they are really eager to hear new music. And especially now, in these hard times, people need music. And so why waiting any longer? Of course, it's ideal to have an album and right after you can tour. But yeah, the world is changing and you have to adapt yourself.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope that you had a glorious weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. When there isn't a global pandemic crippling the music industry, they normally put on a bunch of... Wait, what a minute? Wait, hold on a second. Heavy Montreal just announced their first show for 2021. I am super stoked about this. That's right, everyone. They just announced that on November 19th, they have brought Ginger with very special guest Suicide Silence coming to MTELUS. This is very exciting. This is the first show that they have announced in a long time. I am stoked about this. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter, and this show is going to be insane. Tickets are on sale right now. You can go and get those via the link in the description of this podcast. I love Heavy Montreal, and I'm super stoked to have them behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to encourage you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm asking you to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I've dropped throughout that past week, if I have been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as the links to the upcoming live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, and of course the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlists, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify and is curated by my man, Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. Do yourself a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. This is a party that you do not want to miss. Now, on today's episode, I am with Mark Jensen of Epica. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 247.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Mark Jensen of Epica. I am super, super stoked to be with you. Let's start with a very, very simple question. How are you doing, Mark?
That's a good question. I'm doing fine. I had a great day. I worked in my garden the whole day on my my vineyard. Just so there was a lot of work to do.
Oh, very cool.
It's almost done, and then I can start working on the next thing. So, but it's, for me, it's a lot of fun working in the garden. I really enjoy myself there.
That does sound very nice. That sounds very nice indeed. Let's start with a more complex question. How did you cope with the glorious year of 2020, which is now behind us?
Yeah, I know that many people were really suffering from it. And now, of course, I had my ups and downs as well. But I must say that I had also a very good time in 2020. So I could do a lot of things that I usually almost never have time for. And so whenever I have, whenever there are changing circumstances, I usually really adapt pretty fast to it. And the only disadvantage is, of course, that we cannot tour with my bands. And the other thing is that I live pretty far away from my parents, and I haven't seen them now already for 6 months. That's wow. A pity. But yeah, I take the things the way they are and make the best out of it.
Now, normally we don't get to see anyone because we're touring so much. How was it having a whole summer at home, which is just so crazy because that never happens. We're always out playing festivals and hanging out with our other family, our road crew family. So how is your summer at home and, you know, spending so much time not performing?
Yeah, they always say, be careful what you wish for. And I always was thinking, like, how would it be to have a whole summer at home and don't have to tour? And now I had it. So it was great, actually, because I could do, like I said, I could do all the things that I always wishing for doing. I had a holiday with my girlfriend here in Sicily, where I live, and we could go to the sea as often as we wanted to, and really had a whole summer of holiday feeling. And also due to that the COVID situation wasn't in the summer was pretty much under control. So the summer was really amazing, actually.
Let's talk about beer. It's Vox and Hops. You know, I like to hang out with my metal friends and talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beer are you drinking on your side there today, Mark?
Laffe Blonde.
Ooh, it's a classic.
Yeah, I love it.
I remember when I had my very first Laffe. It came in a mixed pack here in Montreal of all of the European brews, and I would, you know, buy that because I was fancy. I was thinking that I was above the usual Molson and Labatt products that happen here in Quebec, and that was definitely one of the ones that really, you know, it was the different one in that pack because they had Heineken in it.
Yes.
They had Stella Artois in that pack, and then they had the Laffe, and it was just so much more, you know, body to it. It was a very, very interesting brew, and I still enjoy it to this day. On my side, I'm drinking something very special. This is called Brew Juice. It is by a very, very cool brewery called Pub Brewski.
Nice.
And this is basically their claim to fame. So it is a fruited smoothie sour. So it is a fruited sour. So basically they mix a sour Berliner Weiss beer or a kettle sour brew, and they put in fruit puree in the beer. So it is basically like an adult juice. It's delicious. It's close to a mimosa almost. It's a 5.2%. In this one they got strawberry, raspberry, blackberry, another type of berry. They got cherries, blueberries, and cassis, and the special one of this is that they got peanuts in it. So it's basically like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Peanut butter beer.
Exactly. It's crazy. What a time to be alive, Mark. I'm going to crack this open.
Mine is 6.66% is a true metal beer.
Yes. Let's talk about beer. Let's go back. I remember my first beer very vividly.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first beer that you ever had?
Yes. I remember it, actually. And it was at a birthday party of my father. I must have been like 13 years old or 14. I don't remember exactly. Prost.
Yes, cheers, cheers.
And I was at that party, and everybody was drinking beers because the friends of my father, they love beers, and my father himself as well. But I always was curious how that, because everybody seemed to enjoying beer so much, I was really curious. And then suddenly one of these guys said, just give it a try. Is it all right? He looked at my father. He said, yeah, I can have one. So and I remember I my first sip, and I thought, what the fuck is this? I always had this image of that it was the most delicious liquid ever. And then I took my sip, and I didn't like it at all. Nowadays I like it, but that first sip, I thought it was disgusting.
It's true. I've spoken about it on the podcast as well. As my first time drinking, I hated it, you know, and it was really just, I was a little bit older. I was a young teenager, and it was basically the whole purpose of drinking was to have a good time and to try to get intoxicated, but it tasted so bad. And my first memory of smelling beer, because my dad never drank, was here in Canada. Again, it's winter time, right? So I'm walking home from school, and I pick up this beer bottle for some reason, and I get like beer spilled on my mittens. This, I was young, I was still in primary school, and I remember the smell just being so, so bad. Unlike this one, which is just delicious on the nose, it is pure peanuts. It smells like peanut butter peanuts, and then you the
peanut butter
you
penis.
Sip it, you got that. No. Peanuts.
Yeah, all right.
when you when you sip it, you got that jelly tartness. So it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy craft beer? Is there a craft beer scene in Sicily? I've never been to Sicily. I know that Italy has some
yeah.
very cool things going on in the world of craft beer. I don't know if it's made its way to Sicily as of yet.
Yeah, there's one beer, and it's funny enough, it's called Epica. And it's, we have nothing to
no
do
way.
With it, but there's a beer here in
no
Sicily.
Way.
Yeah, it's no kidding. It's called Epica. I even have a glass of the beer downstairs. If later on you're interested, I can show you the glass.
That's so, so cool. Do you dance? Do you enjoy craft beer? Is that something that you actively go and pursue?
Yeah, I'm more like a wine drinker, I think, in general. I love to drink wine with lunch, one glass, with dinner, one glass. But every now and then I also drink beer. And I especially like the triplet beers. So the triple. Mm. And some of my friends, they sometimes visit me here in Sicily, and then they bring a whole lot of that kind of beers from Belgium. And I really love it.
Yes.
With all kinds of different tastes and really good.
That's super interesting. Let's dance into the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardian's house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Yeah, my father, he was a kind of a blues rock guy, and he also introduced me to Guns N' Roses. And that was yes. at the time when I wanted to act like I didn't like the music of my father. So he bought Guns N' Roses, and I said, I don't like it, it sucks. But then secretly, I loved it. So I was stealing his CDs and then playing them. But then at a certain point, he found them in my room, and then I couldn't I couldn't hide it anymore.
That's cool. My dad showed me Guns N' Roses,
cool.
too, I remember. Going and listening to the song Coma and it just being so dark and him like explaining everything to me. He's like, you know, this guy's on the he's dying. He's, I remember vividly
yeah.
remember that. Take me to your first show. Do you remember the first live music experience that you witnessed?
The live music that must have been already at some of my holidays where there was always some live music going on. But the first live show that I actually bought a ticket for and attended must have been a show of Gorefest. That's a Dutch death metal band. And I remember that I was at that show, and the atmosphere was amazing. And the thing that I also recall was that at the end of the show, these guys were on the stage. They were cleaning up everything. They were packing their stuff. And the drummer, he wasn't doing a thing. And many years later, we were touring with that drummer, and he had a new band. And I told him, I visited that show, and you were not doing a thing. And he said, no, that cannot be. I wasn't like that. And then the other guy said, yeah, he's exactly like that.
So that's rare. Normally, the drummer has to do the most of
yeah,
that work.
He wasn't doing anything. His name is Ed Warby.
That's hilarious. How about your first time on stage? Do you remember the first time that you played a show?
Yes, I do. Because the first time on stage was actually a show in our own rehearsal room. We built it like a small stage. And because we couldn't get any shows, we thought then we organized a show ourselves. We had this nice rehearsal room and then there were about 40 people there that evening. And we just played a show in our own rehearsal room. And that was the very first show I've ever played.
Wow. So, kids listening to this, you can't get a gig. You
yeah.
make a gig. It's an important lesson right there. You know, you can't wait for things to come to
yes.
you. You have to go and get it.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, one of the staples of why you succeeded. Because don't wait, do it.
Yeah, that's kind of, it was probably not such a good show because it was our first show. We were, even though it was in our own rehearsal room, we were nervous as hell. And our bass player, he was laying after the show drunk on the floor. That's all I remember as well.
That's how he dealt with his nerves,
yeah.
I guess, right? I still get that, you know, a little bit before I climb onto stage, you know, big shows like when we played Wacken Hellfest, I get, you know, the butterflies and I'm on stage and I feel my heart just pounding. I still get nerves to this day. Do you still struggle with nerves, and how do you cope? What is your process when you approach getting onto a huge, huge bill such as WEC?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily nervous for the size of the stage or the size of the crowd, but I'm nervous if we play songs that we didn't play in a long time. And the only way to deal with that is that I, before, like 2 hours before the show, I go over the songs one last time, and then I'm okay with it. But always then I rehearse these songs, and then the day itself, I think like, do I still remember everything? I start doubting myself. And then when you go over it, and it's soon enough before the show, then I'm fine. And then I can do it.
Is that a nightmare of yours that happens where you're on stage and you forget a part? Is that something that actually...
Yeah, that's a nightmare I had many times, actually, that I was on stage and that we played a song, that somebody announced the song, and that I thought I didn't rehearse that one. How can this be on the set list? How is that possible? And then we start playing that song, and then I think I'm bluffing myself through the song, but then at a certain point, I have a blackout, and then I don't remember anything, and that's the worst part of the nightmare.
It's crazy. I have these dreams that I'm sitting and taking an exam that I didn't study for. I have that at least once or twice a year. So it sort of falls into the
same. That's also a terrible one, yeah.
The same aspect of not being prepared for something.
Yeah, I had also that dream that I sometimes, that suddenly that I was suddenly back at school, and that I decided to go back because I wanted to study some more. And I always, but because when I stopped when I finished my university, I thought I will never go to study again. I'm done with it. It's been enough. So then suddenly having that dream to be back at school, and then I'm thinking, what, why, how on earth did I come up with that idea to go back to school?
I always wake up so relieved.
Yes. It's
when I realize that I'm not in school anymore, because, you know, I enjoyed school. I enjoyed learning, I still do, but I'm just not, I don't want to go back to school. It's not something that I can see in my future. It's not the structure that I like to learn in now.
Yeah, I also, I love learning, and I love learning new things, but then I read the books that I want to read, I watch the documentaries that I want to watch, and not somebody telling me what to do, because what I never liked was that somebody told me what to do and when to do it. That was, I was a little bit allergic to that.
Mm-hmm. And it also falls into the artistic side of being creative and you know, Rage Against the Machine would say, "Fuck you! Don't, I won't do what you tell me."
Yeah, like that. I'm a little bit like that.
I think it comes with the territory of being an artist. It's we like to pave our own roads, make our own decisions, build our own stages, to play our own shows, to hopefully climb onto a bigger stage that we don't, you know, you didn't have to pick up your basses at the end of a gig.
And that was actually also when we discussed the deal with our record company, Nuka Blast. It was also part of the deal that we said, we want to do what we feel like doing music-wise. But then they also said, we give our artists complete freedom. You do your thing, we do our thing. And it always happened like that, and it works perfect. I cannot stand some record companies, they want to influence their artists too much. And then they feel like not free. They don't feel free what to do. And they don't feel 100% happy with their own music. And I think that's not a good thing.
I think that would be hell to be in a band. Because, you know, it's such a passionate project being an artist and being in a band to you know, spend so much time, so much energy to create something that you don't even love. I would think that would be just the worst. And then you have to tour it for 2 years. Ugh, just the worst. I would not want to do that ever. ever. You guys didn't do that, though, because you guys are releasing Omega, dropped February 21st via Nuclear Blast. You've been talking a lot about this record because you're doing a bunch of press for it, so I'm not going to, you know, dive too much into the same redundant questions. But I am curious about a pandemic release. Is that something that was hard for you guys? You're in the process of probably already have recorded it. before the pandemic hit. I know how these things work. And then was there a thought of just holding on to it, waiting for that pandemic to finish, and then release it so that you could tour it and promote it properly? Is that a discussion that you guys did have?
Yeah, we had that discussion, and we actually postponed the release already once from September last year to February this year. But when we discussed again to postpone it again, I said, hold on, I want it to be released because nothing is the same now anyway than it used to be. And if you wait, you maybe wait one more year, two more years, nobody knows how long this is going to take. And I said, yeah, and everybody luckily agreed with me. This album is, now we feel still really attached to it. But if you wait one more year, maybe you lose the touch. And also the fans, they are really eager to hear new music. And especially now in these hard times, people need music. And so why waiting any longer? Of course, it's ideal to have an album and right after you can tour. But yeah, the world is changing and you have to adapt yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think now versus the beginning, say it was going to come out September or like May of last year. I feel like a lot of albums last year, it went that dropped in that early springtime were forgotten and weren't appreciated as much. So maybe those ones should have been held on a little bit longer so that people could adapt. And, you know, there was the fear. There was a lot of fear and the unknown when COVID hit for real. But now people sort of are in the swing of things. They still can. They know that bands need the support because they're not getting out on the road, and they, you know, bands are finding interesting, creative ways to stay in contact with their fans.
Yeah, and I agree. There were some bands like Nightwish. They released the album just when the pandemic started, so they couldn't do any tour yet. Already with an album being 1 year old, so that must really suck. But yeah, it's also possible that we release it now, and we also cannot tour for 1 year, so. Who knows? And I'm not worried about that. It's just going with the flow, and we will see whenever it's possible again to play. Then we will be more than ready to do so.
Very sick. One of my good friends is on this record that makes me very happy. The great Vicky Sarakis of The Agonist. She is a Vox and Hops alumni. Basically, all of the Agonist are Vox and Hops alumni. I've had them on the whole band, with the exception of Paco. Paco, I'm going to get you. You're my missing link to get my full Agonist Vox and Hops alumni status.
Great band.
But excellent. Yes. Yeah. I love them. I grew up with them here in Montreal. I was in 3 Mile Scream. Danny Marino's brother was in that band with me. I've known Danny for a very long time, which is why I asked him to be my very first guest on Vox and Hops way back in 2018. But enough about that. Let's talk about having Vicky on this record. She's a sick vocalist. Talk me through how all of that happened.
Yeah, actually, we had the album finished, but we had one spoken word part, which didn't fit well with what we had in mind. And somebody said, I think it was Kuhn, we need a strong female voice for that part. And as we know Vicky very well, we contacted her to do it, and she gladly accepted. And but hopefully in the future she can also do something bigger than this, because now it's a tiny role. She did a great job, but she's a fantastic person, fantastic vocalist. So hopefully in the future we can do something even bigger than that.
Yes, absolutely. I love her. I love her to death. Killer vocalist and excellent human. She's doing really, really
great
cool things with her Patreon right now. She's got all these cool covers that she's doing. She's tackled the pandemic very well for herself. She's scratching that itch. How are you going to stay in contact with your fans after this release? Is there discussions of a live stream? Is there what? How are you guys going to?
Yeah, there's definitely an option for doing a live stream, because the longer it takes before you can do shows, the sooner you have to come up with alternative ideas. And it sounds maybe crazy, but I think that in the near future anyway, the new way of visiting a concert will be like virtual reality mask. And maybe in 10 years, this technology is so much developed that you put on a whole suit and you actually feel like being at a concert. I think it will go that way. But I'm always having crazy ideas about the future, and now probably some people will laugh. But maybe in 10 years, nobody's laughing anymore.
Yeah, everyone just stays home. We wouldn't get as sick, which would be very cool. That's one positive thing there. And you wouldn't have to use the disgusting facilities that I hope that a lot of these venues who have been closed for over a year now are, you know, making a little bit cleaner for us. You know, doors on bathroom stalls in America, please. That's something that I just put a door. It doesn't even have to lock. Yeah. I don't care. Just put the door. How many times do we come into a venue? We come into a venue and there's no door on the stall. I don't
care. Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. I've done that. Yeah.
But basically, yeah, you're talking like that movie Ready Player One, which was an awesome book as well, where we'd go to concerts and we're not really there, but the whole experience is there in a suit. That would be really cool. I imagine people are actually thinking about that and working on it right now. And if you are people, you owe Mark some money. Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Let's talk back into craft beer. You mentioned that in Sicily there is a brewery called Epica, but have you guys ever made an Epica craft beer? Is that something that you have done? Have you done a collaboration with a brewery?
We are working on it, actually, as we speak.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So it's not going to take too long anymore before we have our first draft beer ready.
Very, very cool. Do you know, can you tell me, there's probably a bunch of secret stuff going on, but if you can, talk about it. Tell me which brewery it is or what style it is and what it's going to be called.
I can tell you already that it's a Belgian brewery.
Very nice.
They make one of the best beers in the world in Belgium. So, I mean, in Belgium, they brew the best beers in the world. And also Germany has some good ones. Netherlands has a few good ones, too. And then everywhere in the world, there are some good ones as well. But I think, like, Belgium is like the main country for beers, at least for me. And that's also why my favorite is from Belgium.
Well, you know, it sort of started there, so they have a few more years on everyone in experience in creating delicious brews. So there'd be no...
But my favorite Dutch beer, by the way, is Hertog Jan. I don't know if you know that one.
I do not know that one. What style of brew is that?
It's a bit hoppy, but it's very good. It's a very difficult name. That's why probably nobody remembers it, but it's... in my opinion, the best Dutch beer, because everybody always talks about Heineken as the Dutch beer, but we in the Netherlands are not so proud of Heineken, to be honest.
That's just the marketing. The marketing was very, very good for it. I believe Hoegaarden is from the Netherlands. Am I crazy?
Hoegaarden, yes. It's also Dutch, yeah.
I used to love getting that because it came in this ridiculous huge glass. Which my young self thought that there was more beer in it, but it's not. It's just the glass is thicker. But it was as big as my head. I loved it.
It's really good.
I'm very, very lucky that I get to do these interviews and, you know, the moment right before, I'm wondering if the artist is going to connect. Am I prepared enough for this chat? So I get the little butterflies as if I'm about to jump onto stage. That is how I'm filling my void from performing. How have you been filling the void from your performance?
Yeah, now there comes a long story because I'm doing so many things that... first of all, I love doing sports, so I'm doing cycling, I run, I swim, fitness. So I even, maybe you can see it a bit in the background, is a part of my fitness studio. I have some machines also downstairs. Because the sad thing was that some fitness clubs went bankrupt now because of the pandemic. The good thing for me was I could get a lot of this stuff for free almost.
So just come
pick
it up.
Exactly. So I don't want to be too happy about it, but at least it's I found a nice place and I use it a lot. So I love sporting, but I also love coldness adaptation training. That's something I'm doing a lot these days. And I don't know if you heard about the guy Wim Hof.
No.
It's a Dutch guy, and he has like 26 world records of like staying 1.5 hour in an ice bath, for example.
Wow.
And he wrote a book about it. There's a lot of science behind it, and it seems, and I wanted to test that myself, that when you're doing all this training, you're getting more healthy and you don't get sick anymore. And as I had in the past, like 3 times a year, the flu, it was really bothering me. Since 3 years ago, I'm doing this this training. And 3 years, since 3 years, I didn't have the flu anymore. So for me, it works. I hear also for many other people that it works for them as well.
Very
and also the fun thing is that you start getting used to coldness.
So exactly what is this cold therapy training? Do you sit in buckets of ice water, or how do you go about doing this?
Yeah, I'm doing several crazy things, and one of them is I'm sitting in a ice bath. So I'm putting ice cubes in a bath. I did build my own outdoor ice bath. So
wow.
It's so I'm very dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And but you can also do like when it's around 0, so degrees Celsius, then do a walk in swimming pants. It sounds crazy, but it really is one of the things you can do. And breathing exercises. And the funny thing is, in the past, I felt really easily cold. So I couldn't stand coldness too well. But nowadays, when it's getting cold, then my body automatically heats up. I don't have to do anything for it. It feels my body starts functioning like a heater, a heating system. It's very funny because my girlfriend, she always feels cold. And in the middle of the winter, I have to heat her up.
Same thing here all the time. My wife was just complaining how cold it is in the house. And I'm like, it's not cold.
No. For me, it's never cold, but for her, it is.
So the guy that owns the record on this can sit there for an hour and a half, you were saying. So how long can you sit in your ice bath?
Yeah, so far my maximum was 23 minutes. And even though that's far from 1.5 hour, I can assure you after 23 minutes, you start feeling very cold already.
Yeah, I've heard that if you swear while you're doing things like this, you can put the pain aside. If you swear, you can hold your hand. I saw some documentary on it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You put your hand in ice water versus, and you're allowed to swear while your hand is in the ice water versus not doing that, you could stay longer in the ice water.
Yeah, I will try that when the next time when I start feeling cold. But I know for sure that what also helps is when you focus on feeling warm, then you start feeling also literally more warm. And this guy Wim Hof, he managed to keep his body temperature at a certain amount of degrees. And I cannot do that yet, but I'm trying to get there as well.
So
after 23 minutes, my body is probably drop the temperature 2 degrees, and then you have to simply go out. But if I manage to keep that level on the same, so like 37 degrees or something, then I think I will be able to do it longer.
Very, very interesting. How do you keep this up on tour?
On tour, for example, then walking around in t-shirt when it's cold outside, And also funny was, there's a funny anecdote, we played in Los Angeles and that day it was a very cold day. And after the show, we had to walk outside to our dressing room and we were all wet and sweaty. And everybody had to walk outside to the dressing room and almost everybody caught a cold because of that. And I didn't, because my body is used to it. So I thought, it's also really useful.
That's awesome, because a lot of people think that you're going to get sick walking around outside. So everyone must see you on tour and be like, oh, Mark's going to get sick. And here you are. You're not getting sick because you're doing this. Very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you do it just once, of course, then you probably get sick. But if you're trained to do so, you get used to it. And also you develop some brown fat levels. And brown fat is healthy fat.
Hmm. Extremely interesting. I like this. Let's wrap this up with one last question, though, Mark. It probably never happens to you because you're in good shape. You take care of yourself. You know what's going on. You know your limits. But every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Then when I have a bad hangover, I drink tea in the morning, a lot of tea with lemon, and then I drink a lot of water. I already start actually usually the night before I go to sleep, I start drinking a lot of water because I learned my lesson. But if I forget for some reason, a lot of tea and also a lot of water in the morning. And then when I have to play the show, then I always keep in mind when I have this big headache, I think yesterday you were a big man. Then now show yourself also that you can do it.
Because like
the people, they deserve the best possible show. And then with every time I headbang, I feel somebody hitting me with a hammer on the head. And I think, go on.
I love it. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time talking to me about your life, music, and craft beer. I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Everyone, go listen, buy, support Epica, new record, Omega, which dropped February 21st via Nuclear Blast. I know that I'm going to check it out and enjoy it. Thank you so much, Mark. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, too. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you all so, so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. What a great conversation with Mark. I'm super stoked to have had the chance to have a chat with him. I am actually very interested in this cold adaptation training that he is involved in. I want to investigate this further. I think it's super interesting, and I'm very, very stoked to have a chat with Mark again so we could dig deeper into this topic. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, I would strongly encourage you to follow the podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, you should also take the time to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more metalheads just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Trust me, this is a party that you do not want to miss. Sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I have one more episode coming at you this Friday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.